Praise the Lord, everyone.
Hallelujah.
All right, we're in the Word of God, and I want you to turn to the book of Genesis and to chapter 22. And we're going to continue on in our series on the names of God. And the subtitle of the series is, You Are Who You Are, because what?
He is who he is.
Oh, thank you, God, for being who you are. Lord God, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord, for being who you are. We thank you for being a good God, a kind God, a loving God, merciful, and we praise you. All right, praise God. Okay. So if you've got the book of Genesis, chapter 22, I want you to turn to verse 7, and we're going to read a passage of scripture from verse 7 on down to verse 14. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
If not, say wait a minute. All right, and the word of God says as follows, And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withholdest thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead or in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider. The Lord is my provider. Jehovah Jireh is a very famous passage for the name of God. We sing it in songs. We sing out to Jehovah Jireh. We hear it preached in sermons. We talk about God as a provider and that God will provide for all of your needs. And that's so true because God had promised in his word. He said that if you ask it in my name, I will do it. That's an extension of seeing Jehovah Jireh at work. And I want to preach to you very briefly on this afternoon on the topic of God has a master plan. God has a master plan. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. We lift you up, Lord God, and we exalt your name. We declare that there is nobody like you in all the earth, Lord God. And we declare that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord God, we thank you for your presence in this service. We thank you for your power made manifest. Lord, we thank you, Lord, because you are good all the time. And Lord, I pray that we would hear from heaven on today, that you would speak through your servant, and that you would speak through your word, and that we would hear from heaven, and that we would get closer to you, Lord God, and that our faith would increase, and that our eyes would elevate, Lord. We thank you once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say, Amen. 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 Now, God has a master plan. God has a master plan. God is so awesome in his master plan that God's plans can never be thwarted. They can never be divided. They can never be hindered. What God intends to do, it's going to get done. God is an awesome person. I remember now I was watching a TV show. And in this TV show, it had a mastermind. And the mastermind was putting together a plan of rescue so they could go in and rescue this person that was in danger. And so when when the troop went in to go rescue her from danger, they got caught, you know, and when they were caught by the enemy, they got thrown in the prison camp, and everybody turned to the mastermind and said, your plan seems to be garbage. Your plan got us arrested, and your plan's going to get killed. And the mastermind said, we are exactly where I want us to be. This is exactly what I planned to get done. And then later on in the movie, it was exactly what they needed, because they ended up digging a tunnel right there in the prison and digging up right where the lady was and rescuing her out of there. And when there's a mastermind involved, when there's a master plan involved, those that are following after the master or the master plan don't need to worry. They don't need to fear. And that's the same thing with our God. Our God is Jehovah Jireh. And I want to get into this here in the Word of God and talk about something here. When you look at the life of Abraham and you see where God has brought his journey, you see a remarkable calling that God put on his life. Abraham, out of the clear blue sky, God talks to him and says, Abraham, I want you to rise up and I want you to go to a land that you have never seen before. And Abraham responds by faith and follows after what God wants him to do. But I have learned also that in this Christian life, that Christian growth is not about how long you have known about God, but it's how long you have experienced God and obeyed God. You don't follow me on that. The Christian growth is not about how long you've known about God. A lot of folks know about God and have been in church for 30, 40, 50 years and they're not growing because they don't experience God. They don't obey God. But there's a principle I want to really show you on this afternoon about if you experience God, you can know God sooner than somebody else. Now, Abraham was introduced to God in Genesis chapter 12, and then later on we see the introduction of his wife Sarah, and we see the introduction of Lot into the equation, and then eventually we see a character on the scene named Hagar. And Hagar is a slave of Sarah, and she ends up becoming the concubine of Abraham. And when the Bible says that when the jealousy of Sarah reached a high point because Hagar was pregnant and Sarah was not, she began to mistreat Hagar, began to treat her roughly. And the Bible says that Hagar ran out into the wilderness, and it was in the wilderness that she experienced God. You see, Abraham knew about God, but Hagar was the first one to experience God. And Hagar's experience, she knew that God was that name we already talked about, El Roy, the God who sees. And she understood that God really cared and that God was watching over her. You see, it wasn't Abraham that the knowledge of El Roy came. It was to Hagar that the knowledge of El Roy came. You don't follow me on today. It doesn't matter how long you've known about God. It's about how long you've experienced God. Amen. And because Hagar was able to experience God and know that he was El Roy, God made a promise to Hagar in the book of Genesis that says, your descendants, chapter 21, that your descendants will be a mighty nation through Ishmael. You see, after you experience God, after you have obeyed God, comes the blessing of God. But it is not until Genesis chapter 22, after Hagar has had her experience with God and knowing God intimately by knowing him to be El Roy, that Abraham has an experience with God also. And this time, he is tested by offering up his son as a sacrifice. And he says, you know, that's no problem. I come from the Amalekite people or the Amorite people, and we are known to offer human sacrifices. That's not a big problem. You see, Abraham's faith came in that he believed that God was able to raise up his son from the dead. And so when he gets ready to offer his son Isaac up on the altar of sacrifice, God intervenes and stops, and Abraham says, now that I have experienced God, I understand a new thing about God. He is Jehovah Jireh. And we all say that God is our provider, because that's what Jehovah Jireh means. But I want to tell you something a little bit deeper than the meaning of Jehovah Jireh, so you understand it's much more than God being a provider.
Okay, come on.
Hallelujah. You know, we always tend to hear songs and think about Jehovah Jireh, and we think about things like God providing for our rent, and or God providing a new job, or God, you know, taking care of our problems, and that he will provide for all our need. And we quote the scriptures in the New Testament about God always being a need provider, and that's true. But Jehovah Jireh has a deeper meaning to it, and the deeper meaning behind Jehovah Jireh is the idea that the Lord will see to it. That's the real meaning of Jehovah Jireh. Look at that same verse, verse 14. It was because that he shall see to it. It's a he shall see to it, God. But can I get a little bit deeper with you?
Yeah, come on now.
What's really good is that not only is the idea that God will see to it, but the idea of Jehovah Jireh is that God will see ahead, that God sees in the future, that God sees in the distance. And so therefore, God's provision is based upon his foreknowledge.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You see, Hagar had an experience with the God who sees, El Roy. But Abraham's experience was a little bit deeper than Hagar's experience. He not only knew that God saw in the here and now, but he also realized that God saw ahead of time.
Yes.
You see, Abraham understood that there was no way for that the ram to get itself caught in the thicket of that bush. It had to be done ahead of time.
Right.
Amen. Y'all don't hear me on tape. That's okay, though. It was done ahead of time. God is so awesome in the things that he does. There is no problem that we will ever encounter that God does not have a solution to ahead of time. That's a wonderful thing to know. There is nothing that we will ever go through in life that we can say, God, do you know what you're doing? God, do you know what's happening? God says, I've already got a master plan that I'm working. It may seem hard now, but my master plan is unfolding bit by bit. You are exactly where I want you to be because my master plan is going to unfold because I am Jehovah Jireh.
Amen.
Now let's look in the Bible here for some examples in this. We see Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and then many theologians will tell you that God had to enact plan B, that God's plan A was always for Adam and Eve to live in the Garden of Eden forever without sin. But like Dalvern had mentioned earlier today, that was not the plan of God. God's plan was for them to fall into sin so that they would find that they had a need for God, that they would have a need to rely upon God, and they can understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because if it wasn't for Adam and Eve sinning, we wouldn't have a Savior named Jesus. But the Bible makes it so clear that before Adam and Eve even was, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that the Lamb of God was slain from the foundation of the world. So even before God said, "Let there be light," the plan of salvation was already a reality. Amen. Praise God. And then we see also Moses. Moses raised up in the palace of Egypt, you know, living in luxury, eating some of the finest foods, laying on some of the finest mattresses, you know, has servants at his fingertips. And then Moses makes a stand for God, and then Moses gets cast out of Egypt. And I can imagine Moses saying, God, what are you doing? You know, I took a stand for you and I lost everything. Some of you may have taken a stand for Jesus and it might have cost you something. And you might have wondered, Lord God, I made my stand. Why am I losing out? Why am I being cast down? Why does it seem like something is not working out? But God says, be still. I am Jehovah Jireh. I've got a master plan. Even what you are going through, Moses, in the wilderness, you used to live in a palace. Now you're living under a bush. You used to lie on a comfortable bed. Now you're lying on a rock. God says, I've got a master plan that I'm working. Because if I give you 40 years of this life, you are going to be the greatest leader Israel has ever seen. And you're going to be something that I can use in my hands. Sometimes we've got to go through some hard things in life. Sometimes we got to go through some struggles and some trials and some tribulation because God's master plan dictates that we get strong, that we get tough, that we get dependent upon God, that we can trust in all that God does. God says, I'm still Jehovah Jireh. I've got a master plan. And then we look also in the New Testament at Jesus Christ. And in the natural world, he comes and he preaches and teaches. And he's a mighty worker of miracles. And the people still crucify him. But Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He says, unless a kernel of wheat drop to the ground, if it doesn't die, it abides alone. But if that kernel of wheat does die, it'll bring forth a harvest. It'll bring forth a fruit. And God says, look, angels, you may not understand. Angels, you might be ready to go on down there and smite all those Romans and smite all those Jewish high priests. But God says, I've got a master plan because in the third day, you don't know, but in the third day, he's going to be raised up. I bet you the devil wish he knew that master plan that God has. But the Bible says that the devil had no idea that Christ was going to raise from the grave. Hallelujah. But he rose with all power and all might. Thank you, God. God has a master plan. What a good God that we serve. What a good, good God that we serve. You know, I've discovered that in my own life experience, you know, we talk about true faith and strong faith and growing faith. And I want to tell you right now that true faith is knowing and experiencing Jehovah Jireh for yourself. That's where true faith comes from. You see, someone could tell you a story about how God has provided and God has turned something around and how God has looked out for them. But until you experience it for yourself, it's not real. But when you experience that God has never left you, that God has always got your back, that God is always by your side, you can say, I know that God has a master plan. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Write this down if you want to write this down. This you'll never forget this. This is good. Great faith is not shown in how big of an answer you receive from God. Great faith is not shown in how big of an answer you receive from God. You know, because we like to do that all the time. And there's a church thing that people do, and they'll get up and they'll give a testimony how God did something great in their life. And then someone wants to give another testimony about how God did something greater. And then here comes Sister Sally Ann, and she says, God was so good. You know, I went to the doctor and my diabetes is all gone. And then Brother Carlos gets up and he says, well, you know, God cured me of cancer. And then Sister Mary will get up and said, well, God cured me of HIV. And then Sister Lori gets up and said, well, God, you know, gave me my legs back because I was paralyzed. And another one gets up and says, well, I was dead clinically for 18 days and God raised me from the dead. And it seems like great faith we measure by the great answer that God does. But that's not great faith at all. Great faith is this, write this down. Great faith is your ability to wait for the promise of God to become a reality.
Oh, amen.
Great faith is your willingness to wait for the promise of God to become a reality. That's what great faith is. It's in how long you are willing to wait for the fulfillment of the promise. It's how long you are willing to wait for God to move that mountain. It's how long you are willing to wait for God to be true to His word. Great faith says, God, I know you never lied. I know you never failed. I know you never left me, God. And I'm going to keep on hanging on to you until my change comes. Amen. Praise God. You know, we see great faith operating so many times. Abraham was tested with the real test of great faith because Abraham was given a challenge. And in that challenge, somebody's going to poke myself in the eye. And the real challenge that Abraham had was waiting for the promise of God. God told Abraham, you're going to have a child. How long did Abraham wait? Over 10 years before God would fulfill that promise. Sometimes when God speaks a promise to His children, we hear God and we believe God, but after a while, we get weary of waiting for that promise.
Right.
You know, it's like a farmer. You know, a farmer went out to go plant some wheat, and he was digging in that dirt, and he was tilling that soil, and he was so happy, and he took the wheat seeds, and he planted them in the ground. He said, Lord, I thank you for this wheat, and I thank you for the harvest I'm going to get, and he began watering it, and he was so happy. He was praising God, and the next day, he looked out, and there was no wheat in the ground. He looked the next day. He didn't wait for the harvest. He looked the next day. That's how some believers are with the promises of God. We think it's got to come microwave fast. We think it's got to come instantaneously. But God says, if you wait on me, amen, I will renew your strength. Those that wait on the Lord, they shall mount up with the wings of eagles. That means that God will carry you while you wait. God will hold you while you wait. God will sustain you while you wait. What a good God that we serve. Praise God. Hallelujah. God has a master plan. God has a master plan. So if God, that's why I want to say this also. A lot of times we don't really realize what it's like how God will build our faith. You know, when we get trials and tribulations that build our faith, that's one way. But also in the waiting process, God will build our faith. I know sometimes we come to God and say, God, I'm in this relationship and it's no good. And this relationship is killing me, God. This relationship is a burden to my neck. God says, wait on me. And you're like, but Lord, it's been 3 weeks and then I've seen no change. Ray Ray is still acting up. You know, Sally is still acting jacked up. But God says, wait on me. And then other times we get in a situation where we say, God, I want a job, Lord. Give me a job. I want to just work, Jesus. And then God give you a job. And the first day you're ready to quit. God says, wait on me. I got a master plan. If I sent you to that job, don't you worry about how tough it is. Don't you worry that nobody likes you. Don't you worry about they backbiting you. You endure and you stay there because I put you there for a reason. Somebody say amen on today.
Amen.
You know, God has got so many things he does for us, even in the case of sickness, even in the case of loneliness, even in the case of so many things that we go through in life. If we are willing to wait, if we are willing to trust God and know that his master plan is happening, then we will really understand what the Bible says about giving thanks in all things, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just because it's bad on Wednesday doesn't mean it's going to be bad on Friday. That you know that it's hard today, it might be roses tomorrow, but you endure knowing that God is still Jehovah Jireh. God still has a master plan. God still is working it out. How many times they look at you and you're going through trials and you got a smile on your face and they think you are silly. They think you are goofy. They think you are foolish. You say, no, God's got this.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And all I'm doing is I'm in the waiting process. I'm in the waiting process for God to answer, because God is Jehovah Jireh. He's got a master plan and he's working it out. The question is, are we willing to wait for God to fulfill all the promises he has said he will perform?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. God's got a master plan. I want to encourage you on today that no matter what you are going through, no matter what you are waiting on for God, if God told you that it was yours, all you need to do is wait.
Amen.
All you need to do is wait on God. He's got a master plan.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Amen. Any questions or comments? Sister Portia?
You were saying every mouth that perceiveth, I didn't get the whole thing.
Oh, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's a quote from the Bible in the book of Matthew and Luke. Let me give you the reference. You can just write down later on.
Okay.
It's the Matthew and chapter 4. Verse 4, Matthew 4, 4, and that's the actual verse you can write down. Okay? Amen. Any other questions or comments? Sister T?
So you said Jehovah Jireh means provider, and what else?
Yeah, that it really means God sees ahead. That's what the real meaning of Jehovah Jireh is. And we say provider on that, but it really doesn't mean provider. It means that God sees ahead, and he can provide because he sees ahead. But that's the real meaning, that God sees ahead. That's why it says in that same verse that he will see to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So in one way, Hagar knew that God sees, but Abraham knew that God sees ahead. So, Portia?
Before I go in there, what's Elroy?
Elroy is the God who sees. The God who sees. I'll make sure I get you that CD. Okay, no problem. Any other questions? Amen. Wanda, you love Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Davern, you love the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Sister Pickett, you love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Sister Patty, you going to shout for Jesus?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Y'all four were quiet, so we'll get out of here. It was a little short message that we had on today.
Love Jesus.
You love Jesus, children? I see all the heads nodding. Amen. 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 Praise God.
Remember that song that you put us in the line, like?
What song?
Because Ariana sings it. Jesus, bless you, love Jesus, why you love Jesus, because
he's
oh, okay,
me.
Yeah.
Oh, that was almost like a game.
You remember that song? Okay. Well, we'll sing that song. Amen. Who remembers that song?
Ariana. She's the only one.
Okay. I say the first part, and I say it as New Canaan. I say, New Canaan, do you love Jesus? Say, oh, yes, I love Jesus. Okay? Then I say, are you sure you love Jesus? And I say, I'm sure I love Jesus. And why do you love Jesus? Here's why I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Okay? New Canaan, do you love Jesus? Oh, yes, we love Jesus. Are you sure you love Jesus? We're sure we love Jesus. And why do you love Jesus? Here's why we love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how? Oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, Wanda, do you love Jesus?
Yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
Sure. I love Jesus.
And why do you love Jesus? It's why I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Sister Yvette, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
I'm sure I love Jesus.
And why do you love Jesus? Here's why.
I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. Together. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Tiana, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
I'm sure I love Jesus.
And why do you love Jesus?
Here's why I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. That's the reason that we all should love him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Sister Patty, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
I'm sure I love Jesus.
And why do you love Jesus? Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Sister Portia, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I'm sure I love Jesus.
And why do you love Jesus?
Here's why I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Sister Dalvern, do you love Jesus?
Oh, yes, I love Jesus.
Are you sure you love Jesus?
I'm sure.
That's right.
I love
Come on now.
And why do you love Jesus?
Here's why I love Jesus.
Because he first loved me. That's the reason we all ought to love him. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Children, you love Jesus?
Yes, we love Jesus.
Yes, we love Jesus.
Amen. Yay. Praise God. Amen. All right, that being said, let us all stand.
You know, God is so good. They said it's supposed to be a heat wave today. You see how nice and cool it is?
It is. We're going to get home before the heat wave. Amen.
This whole week.
Yeah.
They supposed to be cloudy, so it's not supposed to be so bad.
It's gonna get bad. I'm gonna ask if Sister T would come up and give us our closing prayer and benediction.
Yay.
Amen. She thought she was gonna get out of it.
Okay, children, pray. I know.
Come here, pumpkin.
Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, Lord, giving you thanks and praise, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For another Sunday that we can gather together and worship you, Lord.
Yes.
Father God, thank you, Lord, for being Jehovah Jireh.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for being our provider, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We also thank you, Lord, for seeing things ahead, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God, for you always knowing the future, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, for helping us to endure, Lord, as we wait on you, Lord.
Yes.
Father God, how we wait on you, Lord, and we look forward to seeing you, Lord. We look forward to the day, Lord, that you will crack the sky, Lord.
Amen.
And come with the shout of an archangel, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, I ask you, Lord, that you will keep us cool in this heat, Lord. And
amen.
Keep us traveling mercies, Lord.
Please, Lord.
Go to and fro, Lord.
Yes.
And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you all. And you are dismissed. Baby, give me my recorder. Give me this, baby. Give me my recorder, baby. You got a good grip. Okay,
yeah, he, do, right?
He does.